Let's talk money. Greg Abel's $20 billion-plus bet on Alphabet as Berkshire Hathaway's top new position is the most significant signal we've gotten about Abel's investment philosophy since he formally took over from Warren Buffett. Berkshire under Buffett was notably absent from major tech bets. The Apple position was a notable exception, and Buffett always framed it as a consumer products company rather than a tech company. Abel going this heavily into Alphabet suggests he sees it differently. Alphabet at current valuations is trading at roughly 20 times forward earnings, which isn't cheap by Buffett's historical standards.
The Alphabet bet makes sense if you believe two things. First, that the AI transition is a revenue event for Google's core advertising business rather than a threat to it, meaning AI-powered search enhances monetization rather than disrupting it. Second, that Waymo's commercial expansion represents genuine option value that the market is underpricing. Abel's move could be reading both of those theses simultaneously. The $20 billion scale suggests conviction, not a hedge.
Bain Capital's full exit from Kioxia is staggering by any historical measure of private equity returns. They entered the flash memory business, previously Toshiba's NAND flash division, in 2018 as part of a complex carve-out. The 4,000% appreciation and roughly 20x return is exceptional even by private equity standards, where 3x over a fund life is considered strong performance. It caps a period when AI hardware demand drove flash memory valuations to levels nobody modeled in 2018.
Prologis going public with its case for the £12.6 billion Segro acquisition is a real estate story that has significant implications for the European logistics market. Prologis is the largest industrial REIT in the world, and Segro is the dominant industrial and logistics property company in the United Kingdom and continental Europe. A combined entity would control a disproportionate share of last-mile logistics real estate in markets where e-commerce is structurally driving demand. Both boards making their cases publicly suggest this is a contested transaction where institutional shareholders are the real decision-makers.
Bank of America's call on NVIDIA is worth examining for the specific reasoning. NVIDIA has actually underperformed the broader market over the past 6 weeks, despite continued strong AI chip demand, which seems paradoxical. The BofA thesis appears to be that the underperformance reflects investor rotation towards software and service layer AI plays, companies like Palantir and Microsoft, rather than any fundamental weakening in GPU demand. If data center capital expenditure continues accelerating through the second half of 2026, the hardware layer should catch a bid again. But the rotation BofA is describing reflects a maturing of the AI investment thesis from who makes the picks and shovels to who makes money from the mines.
The consumer borrowing drop is an interesting macroeconomic signal that potentially contradicts some of the market optimism. U.S. consumer borrowing fell unexpectedly for the first time since late 2024. Credit card balances and revolving credit declining simultaneously, with consumer sentiment data already showing stress, suggests that households are deleveraging, paying down debt rather than taking on new credit, which historically precedes consumption slowdowns. The S&P futures around 7,533 suggest markets aren't reading this as alarming. But it's a metric worth tracking over the next two monthly reports.
The Social Security depletion warning from CNBC is connecting to real fiscal arithmetic. The Social Security trust funds, specifically OASDI, are currently projected to reach depletion somewhere between 2033 and 2035, depending on the growth assumptions you use. At depletion, the program would be able to pay only about 77 cents on the dollar from incoming payroll taxes without legislative action. That's not a collapse, but it's a benefit cut that would hit 70 million Americans. The political problem is that fixing it requires either raising the payroll tax, raising the retirement age, or reducing benefits, all three of which are deeply unpopular with distinct voter constituencies.
The Hugo Boss board unanimously rejecting Frasers Group's 2 billion euro bid at 38 per share is fairly standard board positioning. Declaring an offer financially inadequate is the first move in almost any M&A defense because it signals to shareholders that they should wait for a higher bid. Frasers, Mike Ashley's retail group, has been building a stake in Hugo Boss for several years and has a pattern of acquiring luxury and premium fashion brands at what critics call below-value prices. The unanimous nature of both board rejections suggests this isn't a situation where the bidder has allies inside the target company.
Tesla's AI home energy platform launch, paired with $9 billion in megapack orders, is the story that doesn't get enough credit in the context of Tesla's overall business. Most of the public narrative around Tesla focuses on vehicle sales, but the energy division has been growing faster than the vehicle business for the past four quarters. Megapack, their utility-scale battery storage product, is benefiting directly from the data center power demand surge. AI facilities need reliable power backup, and Megapack is one of the few products at the scale these facilities require. $9 billion in orders represents roughly 2 years of Megapack production at current capacity.